You know, it's never God's will for anything bad to happen to you. Because God is good. His nature is to be good. And he sits on a throne that's founded in righteousness and justice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, amen, amen. God is here. So you may have your seats. And we're glad that you're here. I want to read a verse of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 28. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs." Say, I work for a giving. And I trust God for my living. Amen?
Amen?
So here at VCF, we don't pass a bucket for our when we receive our offerings, but we have a container in the back, and you can put that in there anytime. If you have a check, just make it out to VCF. Father, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, you have prospered us. You have empowered us. You have blessed us. And Lord, we give out of love, and we give in faith, and we give cheerfully. Because everything that we have, you've given to us, Father. And so we give you a portion. We give you what's yours. And Lord, we offer to you freely. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that every gift and every giver shall be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can put that in the back anytime during the service. And I mean anytime. Amen. If while I'm preaching and you're inspired to give, just go ahead and put it back there. I won't miss a beat. If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like you to turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 14. And we'll go ahead and read. "Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them," in verse 14, "charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Which vessel are you? Are you a vessel of honor or are you a vessel of dishonor?" He said, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." Does that sound like we have something to do as to what type of vessel we are? There are things that we can do that will make us a more useful vessel unto God. Okay? Because he said, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You're useful, you're valuable, you're effective for the master. And a vessel of honor is one that's sanctified, useful, and prepared unto every good work. So we're going to find out if we are a yielded vessel or not tonight. A vessel of honor, amen, a vessel unto God. And he gives us some things here. And starting with verse 15, if you want to be a vessel unto God, you're going to have to study. Everybody say, study. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in order for us to be a vessel that God can use, in order for us to be useful to the master, we're going to have to study. You thought that when you became a Christian, your study time would be done. But I found out this, when we stop learning, we stop growing. You know, there are, I don't know, several thousand promises in God's word. How many are walking in all of them? I'm not walking in all of them. There are more promises for me to walk in. There are more promises for me to have in my life. So how am I going to find out about these promises? I'm going to have to study. You know, God didn't say it'll come through osmosis. You can't get God's promises just by being around them. That's like saying you're going to go to the ballpark and catch a foul ball. You may catch a foul ball, but you may not. I've been to several ball games and I've never caught a foul ball. Amen? But you have an active part as to whether or not you're a vessel of honor. Part of that, you've got to study. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. If the word can be rightly divided, then what can it be? It can be wrongly divided. There are a lot of people that misinterpret what God is saying. There are a lot of places that have a form of godliness but deny the power. So these are some things that we can do. And, you know, God knows who belongs to him. John 10 tells us that he is a shepherd and his sheep know his voice and is known by him. Aren't you glad that God knows you? And aren't you glad that we can know God? You know, eternal life is really who you know. Jesus said in John 17:3, eternal life is this, that you know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Eternal life is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from going to church, but it comes from having an active relationship. Now, church is a part of that, and obviously that's important, okay? And he says some other things here, that a vessel of honor they have to depart from iniquity. Look at verse 22. Okay, well, let's go to verse 21. There's some things that we've got to purge from our life. Amen? How many know, before we know Jesus Christ, we did a whole lot of wrong things, didn't we? And even after we know Jesus Christ, we still do some wrong things, don't we? Well, what does it mean to purge? You know, it just simply means to clean some things, right? You know, cleaning sometimes takes some effort, doesn't it? And we're supposed to purge ourselves or to cleanse ourselves from these things. In verse 22, he tells us to flee youthful lusts. But here's the good thing about God. He never tells you to do something without giving you something else. We're supposed to flee those we're supposed to flee something and cling to something else. He said, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Okay? So, a vessel of honor is one that's been cleansed from sin. You know, Jesus, how does Jesus sanctify us? Do we, are we supposed to get into the shower and get some special soap, you know, and clean ourselves up? How does God cleanse us? He washes us with his word, doesn't he? Jesus is the word, and when he speaks the word, he said, you are sanctified by the truth. My word is truth. So when God says, you know, there was a prophet by the name of Isaiah, and he had a vision when King Uzziah died, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. But as he was seeing the vision of God's glory and God's presence, he realized that he was a man of unclean lips. You know, when you look into the Word, it's like looking into a mirror. It will tell you everything, right? If a hair's out of place, the mirror will tell it. If you've got something on your cheek, the mirror will show it, right? And when we look into God's Word, it's like looking into a mirror. And Isaiah was looking into the presence of God, and he realized, wait a minute, I'm a man of unclean lips. How long did it take for his lips to get clean? One touch. God sent an angel who grabbed a coal from the altar, and he touched his lips, and one touch with that coal cleansed his lips. He was no longer a man of unclean lips. Amen? Well, how many of us like to eat off of dirty dishes? You know, when you go to a restaurant and you sit down and they give you a plate that has someone's lipstick on it or someone's hair on it, does that make the food more appetizing or less appetizing? Well, if we don't want to eat off of dirty dishes, what makes us think the Lord wants to use dirty vessels? He wants to use clean vessels just like we do. And Jesus gave us what he did on the cross. And when we put our faith in him, he released us from the dominion of sin. So we are no longer under sin's dominion. He took our sin away. Can you say praise the Lord? And, you know, we don't have to sin. I'm not saying that we won't, but we don't necessarily have to. I mean, we can resist it. But, you know, our bodies that we live in, they haven't been born again. And we got to deal with our bodies and our soul, right? We renew our minds and we subdue our bodies. Okay? Why is that important? Because that's part of being a vessel that God can use. It's part of carrying. See, a vessel is how we live. A vessel is our lifestyle. It's what we do every day. You know, God designed us to be a container for his glory and his goodness and his presence and his power. We're earthen vessels. And God made a great investment in us. A vessel of honor is sanctified. A vessel of honor is prepared. If God were to ask you to do something tomorrow, would you be ready to do it? You know, we have to be prepared for good works. Did you know that God is prepared for a marriage supper of the Lamb? When's that going to occur? Have no idea. How long has God been ready for it? A very long time. And we have to prepare ourselves. How many know that Jesus is coming again? Amen. And his return is going to take preparation. What you're doing tonight, you're preparing yourself. You're here hearing the word of God. You're here worshiping with fellow believers. You're here in the presence of God, in God's house. And we're here on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week. Not that we didn't have anything better to do, but we're here because we love Jesus. And we love his word. And we love his Holy Spirit. And I want to get all of that I can. I don't know about you, but I'm addicted to Jesus. You know, And I tell you what, God supports my addiction. And, you know, you can get into the Word and you will not get a hangover. You will not get sick. It will not destroy your body, but it'll do the body good. So a vessel of honor is prepared for every good work. Go with me just a moment to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 10. We are His workmanship. Say this with me. Say, I'm God's workmanship. Now that word workmanship, that has the same meaning of calling what Michelangelo did to the Sistine Chapel. What would you call that? What would you call the Mona Lisa? A masterpiece. Did you know that you are God's masterpiece? That's what the Bible says. We are His workmanship. Did He make you? Absolutely. Now, okay, so we're His workmanship. Then he goes on to say, created in Christ Jesus. Actually, what he did was he recreated us in Christ. Did you know that you're a new creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are created in Christ Jesus. Why? Why are you created in Christ Jesus? Unto good works. God wants you to do good works. Well, what's a good work? Anything that God is in is good. Serving in the church is a good work. Soul winning is a good work. Loving your wife, husbands, is a good work. God has created us not for good sitting down, but for good works. Say, God is not opposed to work. But He just doesn't want work to dominate you. God's not opposed to work, but He is opposed to you being a workaholic. Where you put work so high that you don't have time for anything else, that's not God. That's you. Moving right along. Notice, when did God create these good works? Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, how are you going to walk in those good works? Well, first of all, you're going to have to be connected with God. You're going to have to be in a relationship with God in order to get into those good works. And then He'll lead you to those good works. But I want you to notice the good works are already been ordained before you. Okay? Go with me to 2 Corinthians 4:7. I kind of want to shift gears because this was what was really on my heart tonight, okay? We can talk about all the things that make up a good vessel, but this is where the Lord wanted me to be tonight, right here. 2 Corinthians 4:7. And I want you to notice what it says here. Well, actually, let's start with verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, you know, whenever you see that word, you better see what it's there for. Seeing we have this ministry. How many of you have a ministry? Amen. Every one of you. Okay, let me ask this again. How many of you have a ministry? Amen. Amen. Every one of you have a ministry. A ministry is what? It's just an opportunity to serve. Oh, well, I thought the ministry is just when you stand up in the pulpit and preach. No. Did you know that there were people in the early church that served tables? That was their ministry? Okay. Did it say that we're going to get it or that we have it? We already have it. As we have received mercy, we faint not. See, the reason that God gave us this ministry, because first of all, He gave us His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Okay? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. How many know that when you come to Jesus, if you were dishonest before Jesus, you got to be honest after Jesus. Stop hiding. You know, the devil operates in darkness. So when you're hiding, you are on the devil's turf. Okay? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You know, how you handle the word is important. Did you know that God has entrusted you with his word? He considered you a valuable investment. Now, before Christ, you were under the devil's domain. And when you were under the devil's domain, your value went way, way low. But God, who is a rich investor, he is a land developer. He saw potential in you. And he said, I'm going to take you out of the miry clay. I'm going to take you out of that low value housing, and I'm going to add value to you. I'm going to purchase you with my blood. So Jesus shed his blood, and he bought you lock, stock, and barrel. What? No, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You've been bought with a price. Okay? Then he says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Who blinds the minds of unbelievers? The God of this world. Notice that's a little g. How did he get to be God of this world? Adam gave him control of the earth. When Adam sinned, Satan had legal rights to operate in this earth. Okay? And he became the God of this world, or this world system. So in this world, there is a God who's running it. His name is Satan. Now, well, I thought God is sovereign. Yes, God is sovereign. And wherever his will is honored, he reigns. How many know that God doesn't lead people to rob banks? God doesn't lead people to murder. So if someone robs a bank, who's motivating that person? If someone murders, who's motivating that person? It's not God. And it's not that God allows it. It's actually that man allowed it. Okay? All right, I got to get to where I'm going here. Okay, lest the light of the glorious gospel. Aren't you glad that we have a glorious gospel? Amen. Say, this is a glorious gospel. Of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Has God shined in your heart? Has he given you his glory and his goodness? Where did he put that? Inside your heart. Okay? And he has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Where did God put his greatest treasure? He put it in earthen vessels. What's an earthen vessel? That's you and I. Did you know that we are all lumps of clay? You know, when Jesus wanted to make some eyes, one guy, the guy that was blind, what did Jesus do to make eyes? He spit on the ground and made what? He made mud or clay. And out of those clay that he made with his spit, he formed eyeballs. Isn't that awesome? I want you to see something here. God thought of you so much. He placed such a high value on you that he put his greatest treasure in us. Who did he put in us? He put in us Christ. Who is Christ? The anointed one and his anointing. See, I've got the anointing in me. That's true. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? So he put his most valuable treasure in this earthen vessel. So what are some things that God put in us? Okay, we know he put in us his Spirit. Okay? Because Jesus told his disciples, the Spirit shall be with, he is with you, but he shall be where? In you. God invested in us his Holy Spirit. He thought that we were valuable enough to contain his Holy Spirit. Then he invested in us his word. God put his word in us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Where does your digestion take place? Does it take place externally or internally? So when you eat the word, you are digesting it. It is getting in you. It is becoming a part of you. God puts his word in you. I'm telling you, the devil has lied to some of you. He told you that you were of no value. He told you that you were of no use. Those are lies. I'm here to wipe those lies away. God put value in you. God knew that you were useful, and he made the best investment. He made the greatest investment into your life. He put this treasure in earthen vessels. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, how are you supposed to work out your own salvation? Notice what it says in verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How many, when you came to Christ, your desires changed? Amen? There were things that you used to desire that were bad for you, but when you came to Christ, your desires changed. I want you to know that it is God himself who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You've got a God on the inside of you saying, come on, you can do it. Saying, come on, you can make it. Saying, you can do all things because I strengthened you. You're the apple of my eye. You've got a God on the inside of you. See, our problems come when we're less God inside minded and more flesh minded. Didn't it say that God is working in you? That tells me that God has invested in you. That tells me that God thinks you're valuable. That tells me that God thinks you're worth it. So I'm here to combat every lie that the enemy told you over the years. 2 Chronicles 30:12, you don't have to turn there, but it said, and the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the command of the king and the leaders at the word of the Lord. What was with them? God's hand. How is that significant that God's hand is with you? His hand of help, his hand of blessing, his hand of protection, his hand of provision. Listen, I'll tell you what, when God's hand is with you, woo, you can do great things. Say, God's hand is with me. He's there to help you. He's a very present help where? In trouble. Okay? Jeremiah 31:33. It said, but this is the covenant that I will make in the house with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God put his law in your heart. Did you know that your heart is God's diary? And he writes things on there. He reveals things in there. He shows you things there. This is a treasure that we have. You know, we have museums that display our national treasures, but every day you are walking around displaying the treasures of heaven. God put his treasure in people that are made in his image and in his likeness, simple earthen vessels. God made an investment into you. He gave his best into you. Did you know that you're a living epistle? Known and read of all men, not written by the law, but written by the Spirit. Listen. When God formed and fashioned you, he breathed his very breath into you, and you became a living being. See, because we didn't evolve. Amen. Not one person was ever a mistake. Amen. Why? God doesn't make mistakes. Well, This happened and that happened. It doesn't matter how you got here. Just know that you were created. God is the potter, and we are the clay. And God knows what the purpose of every pot is, every vessel is, every vase. Did you know that you're, say, I'm a vessel that God made, and he gave me divine purpose. He gave me a special assignment. God trusted me to be a carrier of his word. What do you expect of male men or women? You expect them to deliver the mail, right? How many ever go to the mailbox and you find nothing and you leave disappointed? I don't know what it is. I just like going to the mailbox, opening the door and seeing something there, even if it's junk mail. I like the fact that it's there. Then maybe after a few moments of knowing there's junk mail, I may not like it, but I'm disappointed when the mail is not there. Now, think about this for a minute. If we expect the mailman to fill his truck and his bag with mail because that's what he's got, what does God expect of us? What does God expect us to do with what he's given us? He expects us to carry out his will. He expects us to deliver on the purpose that he put inside us. He expects us to walk and carry out his assignments. I mean, if we expect that of a mailman, certainly. I mean, God's put in us something more valuable than any mail item, any package or parcel or envelope. I don't care if it has a check for $1 million in it. What God has given us is eternal. What God has given us can't compare to anything in this world. So you are made. Go with me to Psalm 100 and verse 3. How many has ever made anything? I didn't ask if it was good or not. I just asked if you made something. Whether it be a food. You know, I can remember as a young boy, some of my friends and I, we were part of a ceramic club where we would go once a week and we would take these items. We'd scrape off the edges on him. We would paint them and design them, and we'd put them in the kiln, right? And the kiln would bake the paint on there, and it'd come out shiny. My mother In her downstairs house still has an owl that I made when I don't know, I was maybe 7 or 8. Now, I'm not much of an artistic person, but I do my best. I put my best effort into that owl, and to know that my mom still has it. You know, when I was in 7th grade, we had a little contest in our school of art, and I made this multicolored bird, and I got an honorable mention on that bird. My point is this. I made it. I put my effort into it, and because I made it, I added value to it. It had value to me. Whether it was good or whether it was bad, I made it. And it meant something to me. Now, if that can mean something to me, how much more does God think of you because he made you? Psalm 103. Know you that the Lord, he is God? It is he that has what? Made us. And not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Because I guarantee you that God helped you. God gave you the breath that you breathe. He made your brain so that your body could function without thinking about it. Aren't you glad that we don't have to think to breathe? Or we don't have to think to make our heart beat. Oh, wait a minute, my heart hasn't beat it for a few minutes. We don't have to think about those things. Why? Because the Master Creator made us. He made us vessels of honor, sanctified, meet for his use, prepared for every good work. See, what you're doing tonight, you're in a church service. Whether you realize it or not, God is preparing you for life. He's given you food that will feed your spirit. He's given you things that will help you in life. He's given you the truth. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Make you free. Go to Psalm 119. I want you to celebrate tonight that God made you. You're not junk. You're not a reject. You're not dumb. God made you. You're not incapable. God made you. You are a can-do person. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you don't believe it, I'll give you a swift kick in the cans. You know, there are some words that are good to eradicate from your vocabulary, and can't is one of them. Show me the scripture that says you can't. You won't find one. Well, I guess you could stretch it and say, I can't sin. Well, you shouldn't sin. Doesn't mean you're incapable. Anyway, Psalm 119, 73 says this. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Are you capable of learning his commandments? Who's going to help you understand his commandments? Not only does he give you the commandments, but he gives you the understanding to understand them. Guess what? Every one of us is without excuses. I don't want to hear one excuse as to why you can't obey God, because excuses are useless. You've been equipped, you've been made, you've been fashioned, you've been filled. He made a deposit into you. Amen. Why? Because you're a vessel of honor, meet for his use. Prepared unto. Who is Lord? How many believe that Jesus is Lord? Okay, if Jesus is Lord, that means I'm not. That means you're not. That means when God tells you to do something, don't argue with him. He has the title Lord. He is Adonai. He's the one. Now, God will give you the choice. God never forces you to do his will. But you'll certainly be miserable if you're not doing God's will. I mean, you'll be the most miserable person ever when you're not in God's will. You know, how many wanted to be about, how many would like to be around Jonah out of God's will? If Jonah was to come into your house, you would end up losing things in your house that were valuable to you because he was out of God's will. Oh, you don't believe me? What happened to the people whose boat he got on? They lost all their stuff, didn't they? And then, you know, the only way to solve it is to throw him out of the house. God says in Isaiah 44, verse 21, remember these things, O Jacob, for you are my servant, O Israel. I have made you. You are my servant. I will not forget you. Do you know that God never forgets you? Jesus said, I will be with you forever. I will be with you always. I will not leave you as orphans. Aren't you glad that even though he came and he left, but he didn't leave us as orphans, what did he do? He gave us his Holy Spirit. The second greatest gift that he gave us when he left this earth was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth. His job is to bring us into all truth. Did you know that you got someone on the inside of you that can bring you into truth? We just got to let him teach us. You're God's workmanship. You're God's creation. You know, and because Psalm 138:8 says this, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. You know, God will never abandon the works of his hands. So, what kind of vessel are you? What kind of vessel are you? I'm a vessel of what? Okay, we need to all say this. I don't know how many times I said that tonight. You got to believe that you're a vessel of honor. Amen. You got to declare it by faith. Amen? I don't care what people have told you in the past. They're not the final authority. Say this with me. Say, I am a vessel of honor. Sanctified. Meet for the master's use. Prepared unto every good work. Say, I'm ready. I'm willing. And I'm able to do what God wants me to do. To go where God wants me to go. To be what God wants me to be. You are that. Why? He made you. He created you. He handcrafted you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew exactly when you were going to be on this earth. And he prepared you with a divine assignment. He put in you gifts, talents, and abilities and a passion. And when your passion and gifts connect with his purpose, there's a divine explosion that takes place. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know what your purpose is, you are in a good place. Because we're going to pray for you, and God is going to speak to you, and he's going to show you what your purpose is. Amen? Is there anybody here that doesn't know their purpose and wants to know their purpose? I want to invite you to pray with you tonight. God wants to fill his vessels. How many of you, when you get thirsty, do you stick your head under the faucet and drink? All the time. I'm not talking about going into the refrigerator and drinking from the milk jug. What do you use to get the water from the faucet to you? You use a vessel. And when you come to a service like this, God fills his vessels up so that you can share with others what's been put on the inside of you. Where God wants you to be a distributor of his anointing. God wants you to pass his anointing on to others in the name of Jesus. Just like Jesus. Jesus called his 12 and he gave them the power and the authority to do exactly what he did. And he sent them out, and they did. They cast out devils. They healed the sick. They cleansed lepers. They raised the dead. They opened blind eyes, just like Jesus did, because he's the source. He put himself on the inside of them, and they went out and did what he did, because they had the same thing on the inside. You've got the same thing that Jesus has. You're a joint heir. Now, if you're here tonight, and you need, you know what? I believe that there are some people that just need to be filled tonight. Okay? All the ones that need to be filled, come over here. All the ones that need to have your purpose given to you, come over here in Jesus' name. And we're just going to pray for you. And God's going to touch you. Amen? I believe God's going to do a mighty work in you. Because he's a mighty God. Some of you may even just leave drunk in the Holy Ghost. He said, be not drunk with wine, or as he said, but be filled with the Spirit. So Father, right now, just fill her. Lord, pour out of your Spirit upon her right now. In Jesus' name, I just call you.